देखी बैठी थी मेरे मुंह यहाँ पर।
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. When a person commits a sin, that causes a lot of pain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a lot of takleef to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is As-Sabur, that being who does sabr, who is extensively patient. Intensively, extensively patient. Just like a child when they disobey their parents, it pains the heart of parents. In the similar way, when a person commits a sin, then that also gives eza, pain, the cleave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person disobeys Allah Ta'ala's commandment, they engage in stealing, lying, slandering, backbiting, murdering, any sin in the Sharia, and gives eza and takleef to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a name, As-Sabur. What does this word mean? That despite the fact that that servant, the servants of Allah Ta'ala, through their sins and their acts of disobedience, they are providing taklif and izah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pain to Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not punish them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hold them accountable immediately. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to be patient with them, does sabr with them. Then maybe, perhaps, my servants will return back to me. They might come back to me in Tawbah. They might reconnect, establish a relationship with me. They might come back on my door. And that's why the ulama have written that as-saburu fil sahih, as-saburu fil sahih, laysa ahadun asbar ala adha min Allah. That in terms of being patient, when you receive some affliction, some harm, in terms of being patient at that time, there is no one who is more patient than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is very, extremely patient. And this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also loves those people who have this attribute of patience. And this attribute is so beloved to Allah ta'ala that this is one of his names, one of his sifat. And any person who adorns himself with this attribute of Allah, they also are people of sabr. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves such a person. And mu'min is supposed to be sabr. A believer is supposed to be a person of patience. The Prophet ﷺ was sitting with the Sahabi and he asked him that, what is the alamat of your iman? And he replied that, Ya Rasulullah, when there is happiness and ease, we do shukr. And when there is some difficulty, then we do sabr. We remain razi, pleased with the decree of Allah Ta'ala. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the Lord of Kaaba, by Allah Ta'ala, that you are indeed mu'min. This can only be the life of a true mu'min, that in times of success does shukr, times of difficulty has sabr. And whatever has been decreed by Allah is pleased with that. There was one person who was being punished for a haram act that he had committed. And then he was lashed 99 times. And he still remained still. He endured that with patience. When he was hit the 100th time, he started shouting and screaming. And people asked him what happened. And he said that for those 99 times when you lashed me, my beloved was in front of me and I was happy that I'm enduring this because of the beloved who is present. When you lashed me the 100th time, I was in pain since I couldn't see the beloved. And the true mu'min, true believer, for them, their true beloved is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's always with them. And that's why a true mu'min always does sabr. They always look at Allah and they do sabr. If it's coming from Allah ta'ala, there has to be some hikmat. There has to be some khair. So the more one increases in love for Allah ta'ala, more and more that person's life will exhibit sabr. And this is the journey of life. Allah says in Quran that four things every believer, every moment will be tested. His life is precious. Their money and wealth is precious. Their children and their honor, izzat. These are four things which every person has. We have a special relationship with these four things: our life, wealth, children, and honor. And a mu'min will be tested in these four things by Allah. But the person who does sabr, tomorrow when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give people by measuring their deeds, that you did, you prayed salah, you will get this much reward. You fasted, you will get this much reward. When the person of sabr will come, Allah will give that person without limits, without hisab. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. And then some people will be in Jannah who will see that there are other people who have a very high exalted rank in Jannah. And they will desire that, who are these people? They will have rashk. And they will be told that they are those who in this dunya, they used to do sabr in difficult and hard times. And then they will say that, if only we knew about this reward, then we would also desire that our body be cut with a scissor, and we would do sabr, and we will be getting so much. And that is why for someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give a lot, that person is also tested a lot by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ashaddul bala al anbiya, the most test they came on the anbiya alayhi salam. Summa al amthal, and then those who are closest to the Anbiya. Why did these tests came upon the Anbiya? Because Allah wanted to give them the most. They will get the most. And the closer a person's life is to the life of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, they will also be tested and tried. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make them fly high, Allah wants to give them a lot. And in fact, this period of test is also a spring season for a believer. Whether it's illness or hardship or any other difficulty, Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala, he narrated that when a person falls sick, the angels are on the left side, they're told that you stop your pen and your writing. And on the right side, the angels are told that you continue writing. Continue writing those actions, those good deeds that you used to do when he was healthy. Keep writing. So it's a spring season for a believer, for a mu'min, that what he used to do, what they used to do in times of health, they will still be getting that in times of sickness. The return increases. Sometimes these difficulties come because of our sins. And if a person then turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do tawbah and istighfar, then becomes a rahmah for that person. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a very strong ayah, that وَلَا نُذِيقَنَّهُم مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دون العذاب الأكبر. That we are giving them a small azab, and then there might be a bigger azab waiting for them. And what this ayat means is that sometimes a person does a sin, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bring that person back, save him from that bigger punishment. And that's where some small azab, some difficulty comes, so that the person can go back and make tawbah and istighfar. But if a person doesn't do that, then the next azab that will come will be more intense, which will be when a person passes away, if he does not make tawbah. But on the other hand, if there is a person who is a sinner, but in times of test, they do muhasaba, tawbah, istighfar, remember Allah more, then this test also becomes 100% rahmah for that individual. The sins and errors are being erased. When Quran was being revealed, and one particular ayah was revealed, مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجَزَى بِهِ, that whoever does an evil act, they will get the compensation for it. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he came to the Prophet and asked that, Ya Rasulullah, who will be able to save themselves from this? And the Prophet replied that, Siddiq, don't you see that a person becomes sick? They face something which is contrary to their tabiat, to their temperament. All of these situations and circumstances, these halat, they become a compensation for their sins. And through these things, the moment is purified. So if this person is turning towards Allah, then the spirit is like Allah showering him with rahmah. The Prophet ﷺ said in one hadith, that man ahabba Allah, when Allah loves someone, asabba alayhi al-bala'u sabban, that person is showered with tests, like the droplets of rain falling from the sky. This is a sign that Allah loves that person. And in this manner, that person walks on the face of this earth, and there's not one sin that remains on him, completely pure, purified, cleansed. And no one is more beloved to Allah Ta'ala than the Prophet ﷺ. No one is more beloved to Allah than the Sahaba after the Prophet ﷺ. But look at the lives that they were leading, expelled from their homes, children snatched away from them, business taken away, attack on their izzat, attack on their life, attack on their body, social boycott, being embarrassed and ridicule. All of this was to make them fly high. Like a small child, when his mother takes him for a bath, a cold water, soap, scrubbing, shampoo, remaining in the washroom, and the child is crying. But the mother takes him, doesn't listen to his cries. But when he grows up, he says, my mother was very affectionate with me. If she had left me, I would be so dirty, so filthy. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives us a bath. And Allah removes our sins by showering us with the water of tests. Water, sometimes the pain of illness. At that time, the person is crying. But then when he grows old, when that event happens and finishes, then that person realizes that how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved me and how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purified me. If a mother can love her child, then Allah is Inna Allaha bin Nasi la Ra'ufur Rahim. Every decision of Allah has hikmat and has love, shafqat, has mercy. He is loving. We sometimes do wrong things in our ghafla, in heedlessness. But Allah is so loving that He doesn't want to see our sins. He wants to see us pure. So, having sabr is a sign of iman. Hazrat Imran radiallahu ta'ala anhu, for 32 years he was lying on the bed. He couldn't turn himself. And a person passed by, looked at him, and looked at his face and saw so much nur and freshness on his face that he hadn't seen on other people. He asked him why. And he replied that if my beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if my beloved is pleased to see me like this, then I'm pleased with the decision of my beloved. 32 years. 32 years he remained attentive towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today some small test comes and we panic and we take the wrong exit. Yesterday, I was mentioning that this is a time for Qubuliyat Dua. In Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions that Alladhina Asabatum Musiba, when they're struck with some Musiba and they recite Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilahi Raji'un, then Ulaika Alayhim Salawat, Allah Ta'ala sends Salawat upon them, wa Rahma, His Rahmati upon them, wa Ulaika Humul Muhtadun, and Allah sends His Hidayah upon them, they're rightly guided. Now you can imagine how precious this time is. When we are struck with some musibah, Allah is sending His salawat, three things, salawat. Salawat means His blessings. His rahmat, wa rahma, His mercies. And wa ulaika humul muhtadun, His guidance. It's a very precious time. It's a time to draw close to Allah. Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was in the hujra and the lamp burned, lamp extinguished. It was darkness. This was taklif, pain. And the Prophet ﷺ replied, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And then she asked that, Ya Rasulullah, even at this? And said, even at this, Allah will give us reward for this. And the meaning is quite beautiful, that when a person faces any musibah, you recite, Inna lillahi wa inna ilahi rajiun. This has two parts. The first part means, Allah, inna lillah, we are yours. Allah, we are yours, and you have the right to make any changes. You are the Malik. It's your choice. If you give something to us, that's your choice. If you take something back from us, that's your choice. If you keep that thing with us, that's your choice. If you call us back towards yourself, that's your choice. If you call our loved ones back to yourself, that's your choice. Nothing is mine. I'm not the Malik. Nothing is mine. It's not my car, not my house, not my parents. I don't own them. I'm not the possessor. I'm not the Malik. Nothing belongs to me. Nothing is mine. My children, my wealth, my business, my job. Allah, we are all yours. Everything about myself, it's yours. It's, you own it. We are yours. Inna lillah. But then we say, Inna lillah wa inna ilahi raji'un. That we are coming to you to get our return. There is tasalli here. There is consolation that a person gets when they recite this. So in times of musibah, a person should make istighfar, and a person, number two, should be razi, be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he wants to ask Allah ta'ala, what is the ummat marhuma, that ummat which gets your special mercy? And Allah ta'ala said, it's that ummah that I'll give them few, but I'll be razi on the few amal that they do for me. I give them few, but I'll be razi on the few actions they do for me. To be razi with the decree. Hazrat Dawud alayhi salam asked, that, oh Allah, who will be able to walk on the pul sirat, on the bridge, in a very quick fashion? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, that those who are razi on my decisions, who are pleased with my decisions. There was one pious friend of Allah, someone asked him that, oh Shaykh, if one dua is accepted, and if I know this is the time for the acceptance of a dua, which dua should I make? Or which dua would you make? And he said that I will make one dua, that, oh Allah, I want your raza. I want your pleasure. I want Jannah also because it's a place of your pleasure. So it comes in a hadith that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends good for someone, Allah doesn't keep that mistake as a loan. Allah gives it, gives the compensation immediately, some immediate difficulty to cancel that sin. So that's why one thing is istighfar, and second thing to be pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third thing is that we should try to adorn ourselves with this attribute of Allah, sabr. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sabr, and Allah loves this attribute of sabr. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had sabr. The Sahaba ikram had sabr. All the beloved servants of Allah, they have this attribute of sabr. Hence, we should also try to adorn ourselves with this. This is the sign of a true believer, a person who has sabr. But sometimes a question comes that if we are facing some difficulty and I want to have sabr, practically speaking, it's sometimes difficult. The situation might be very difficult for us. So how can we increase in our sabr at that time? So there are a few things that a person can remember at that time which will help a person to increase in their sabr. This is a point of psychology that if you think about the reward, it becomes easy for you to bear that burden. For example, you see a worker, a laborer, he's out under the sun and he's sweating, he's working the entire day, doing hard manual labor under the heat of the sun. But why does he do all of that? Because at the end of the day, he expects some wage. He expects a salary, some money. So thinking about the reward makes that person easy. It makes it easy for that person to practice sabr. So in the same way, we should think about this ayat of the Quran. We should think about this ayat of the Quran that innama yuwaffa sabiruna ajrahum bighayri hisab, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives ajr to the sabirun without any measure. So this is one way a person should remember. Think about the ajr. If we fall sick, think about the ajr that Allah has promised us. If our children fall sick, think about the ajr, the reward that Allah has promised us. If there's some other disagreement, dispute, have sabr and think about the ajr. If there is some financial difficulty, difficulty in risk, think about the ajr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stored for us. And this is that ajr which is not limited, which is unlimited. Many other ibadat, they have a limited reward. But Allah ta'ala loves sabr so much that Allah gives an unlimited reward to that person. And the second thing is that we should think about those people who are in a bigger difficulty. We are sick, but in the hospital there might be so many other sick people who are in a worse situation than us. If we have less wealth, we should think about other people who have even less. So when you think about a bigger difficulty, then that also helps the person to reduce their grief. And the third point is that we should always remember our loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that no matter how difficult the times are, we should be loyal to Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has given us so much happiness and comfort and contentment and joy and blessings. So if there comes an occasional test our way, we should be loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not complain, not start complaining before creation. There's a king by the name of Mahmud Ghaznavi, and he had a helper servant by the name of Ayaz. Now, Ayaz was a servant, but he was a very true, sincere helper, servant. But he had a lot of ikhlas. And that's the reason why Mahmud Ghaznavi had a lot of respect for the servant Ayaz. Meanwhile, the other ministers and the viziers and people in the court, they had hasad and envy and jealousy. Then why does the king show so much special attention to Ayaz? He's just a common person. So one day the king, he took an exam and he brought this bitter fruit which was uneatable, and he told divided that into several pieces and distributed that among all the people present in the court and said to each one, eat it. So one minister, he took it to his mouth and tried to eat it and immediately spat it, couldn't eat it. Then the other person was given, he also couldn't eat it. Similarly, no one was able to eat that. But then when one slice was given to Ayaz, he started eating. And it seemed as if he was enjoying. Mazeme, he's eating. He finished that slice. And all the other people in the court, the viziers, the minister, they're looking at that person, looking at Ayaz, that he's so bitter, such a bitter fruit, and he's eating it. So then the king asked him that, Ayaz, wasn't the fruit bitter? And he said that, oh king, it was extremely bitter. Asked him that, why weren't you feeling it? Why did you eat it? So he said that I was eating it because I one thought came to my mind that even though this was so bitter, however, I thought that I have taken so many sweet things from the hand of this king. So if occasionally I'm getting a bitter thing, a bitter fruit, so I should be loyal to the king. And that's why I'm eating this fruit. So occasionally when we get some difficult situation, we should be loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Show our loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see this sometimes even in our relationship, husband and wife. Sometimes there might be ups and downs, but a solid, loving relationship is a loyal relationship. If there are some difficult circumstances that the couple is going through, they're loyal to each other. This is positive thinking. And this is a must for a person. And this is a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran has commanded us that we should have sabr. And this sabr, we have to understand, is of three types. It's a very specific act, and this can be defined in three ways. The first kind of sabr is sabr ala ta'at. Second is sabr al ma'asi. And third is sabr ala makara or makari. Three types of sabr. Sabr literally means that a person, he endures something with patience, controls himself. That's the lexical linguistic meaning. Now, what happens, the first type of sabr, which is sabr ala ta'at, this means that when a person is doing some act of obedience, some good action, some good amal, then oftentimes that person will face some obstacles. And to bear those obstacles and continue to do that act of worship, that requires sabr and himmat. And this is the first degree, the first category of sabr, which is that a person shows himmat and sabr in continuing those things which are pleasing to Allah Ta'ala, which are matlub in our Sharia, required in deen. And Allah gives us in Quran a command that fastaqim kama umirta, that have istiqamat on those things which we have commanded you to have. And the Prophet ﷺ, he also gave a very short nasiha to a Sahabi that kul, say amantu billah summa istaqim, say that I bring iman on Allah and then become steadfast on that iman. Have istiqamah. Many times it happens that we want to become pious, but the halat and situation, circumstances, they become an obstacle. Sometimes people become an obstacle. Our siblings become an obstacle. Parents become an obstacle. Our employer becomes the obstacle. Husband become the obstacle. So at this time, we should overcome all of these obstacles and go and do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. Have istiqamat. The Sahaba Ikram, when they accepted Iman, we should think the stages through which they had to go through. Look at the Prophet ﷺ, so much istiqama that when the Quraysh in Makkah tried to entice and tempt them, the Prophet ﷺ said that if you, to the Ahli Quraysh, Quraysh in Makkah, that if you keep sun on my right hand and the moon on my left hand, still I will not step back from this deen. This is istiqamat. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once he recited La ilaha illallah, he had istiqamat. He was a ghulam, slave. He had no haysiyat in that society. He was poor, stranger, traveler, had no one, no relative. Despite all of that, he had istiqamat. Hazrat Khubab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, look at the stages that to go through. Hazrat Sumayya, she was a slave girl. And Hazrat Yasir, who was her husband, he was also a slave. Both were husband and wife. And they had a son by the name of Hazrat Ammar radiallahu ta'ala an. And the unbelievers made the entire family, all three of them, a target of their persecution, oppression, zulm. And this was early Makkah. So the Muslims were very few in number. And there was no defense mechanism, no strength or support that the Muslims had. So they would openly persecute these three. And when sometimes the Prophet ﷺ used to pass by and see how they were being tortured, the Prophet ﷺ would say to that family that Sabran ya ala Yasir fa inna maw'idakum jannah. That, O Yasir and the family household of Yasir, keep have sabr. Your Lord has promised Jannat for you. We have such examples in our deen where people had istiqamat on this path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you have istiqamat and sabr, then the deen becomes easy. Otherwise, all of us will face obstacles. All of us will face obstacles from so many areas. Sometimes from makhluk, sometimes from nafs, sometimes from shaitan. Sometimes we want to become religious, but family members don't allow us to become religious. They don't want us to dress up in a certain way. So these obstacles, we need to have sabr in response, have istiqamat. And we should also think that if people can have istiqamat on wrong actions in committing sins, then why can't I have istiqamat in committing right actions? Haven't we seen this in our society? That sometimes the son, he goes the wrong direction. He starts committing sins, hangs around with wrong company, and the mother, father, they're trying to bring him back, counsel him. But he adopts that path. And then he has so much istiqamat, he doesn't come back. He continues on that path of sin. The daughter, she dresses up in a particular way and she leaves her parents. And then she follows that other path. And she also has a lot of istiqamat, right? She doesn't care what the parents, what will happen, but she does what she has to do. So if when people can take and have istiqamat in wrong actions on this path of sin, so why can't a person have istiqamat on right action? Those things that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should try to have sabr. Try to become people of istiqamat. Sabr in the acts of worship. This is the reason why Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, he would sometimes mention stories about a very famous thief of his time. And he would make dua that, oh Allah, shower mercy on Abu al-Haytham. That was the name. And someone asked him that, why are you making so much dua for Abu al-Haytham? And he said, Abu al-Haytham was that thief that he, because of his stealing and the kind of criminal acts he did, he was lashed so many times. And if that lash was, if an elephant was lashed with that whip, the elephant would begin to tremble and quiver. But he was lashed and he took it. He took all of those lashing and whipping. And he would get caught again and then again be whipped, then set free and again would come back into that prison. So he then says, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, that when I was inside the jail, this was at the time when the government had put Imam inside the jail because of this masala and creation of Quran. Long story. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was taken inside that prison and he was to be whipped. So the person was to whip him, he came. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal says that my kameez, my upper garment was taken off and I was put on the ground. I lied down. And then at that time, someone tugged me from behind. And when I turned around, I saw it was Abul Haytham in the prison. And he said that, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, do you know who I am? And I said, no, I don't recognize you. He said that, have you heard the name Abul Haytham? I said, yes, I've heard. He said, I'm that same Abul Haytham. I steal. I'm notorious for this act, for my criminal acts. And then he said that I can say this with certainty that across during my life, I've been whipped and lashed about 10,000 times. But despite that, I've not left my wrong ways. You will be now lashed for this masala, which is haq. You are on the haq. So you should have istiqamat. Don't become weak. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, he said that Abul Haytham, he said those words to me in such a way at the right time that after that, when these people would started whipping me and lashing me, with every whip and lash, it would increase my iman more and more. And I would think that if Abul Haytham could endure 10,000 lashing, so why can't I endure this lash? So if someone can have istiqamat in committing sins, then why can't we have istiqamat on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We should have this first kind of sabr in our life. Sabr in the acts of worship that we do. To develop a consistency in our routine, to patiently do our good deeds and worship without fail. The second level and the kind of sabr is as-sabr anil ma'asi. There are a lot of times a person is facing some sin and they have the opportunity to commit that sin, the kudrat, the power to commit that sin, but at that time to have sabr and restrain ourselves from that sin, to turn away immediately from that. That also requires a certain sabr, a certain restraint, because the chance to do sin is all around us. It's easy to log on to the computer and engage in a variety of sin. It's easy to sit with two people and start talking about a third. To stop ourselves, that requires sabr. And this is another thing that all of us can practice. Whoever practices this kind of sabr will become the muqarrab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beloved of Allah ta'ala. I think I've mentioned this before also, that Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he got this invitation to commit sin. And the mahal, that environment was very conducive. His age, right? Young age, empty room, and he's a bachelor, and he is not even in his homeland, that someone would find out and he would face that embarrassment. And the woman herself is presenting and saying that commit this sin with me, and not simply presenting and telling him to commit this sin, but also then later saying that if you don't commit this sin, then I'm going to imprison you, put you behind bars. And still Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, Ma'az Allah, I seek refuge in Allah from this sin. I cannot do this sin. He stopped his nafs. He had this restraint. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then later on blessed him with that izzat and honor. Sulaiman bin Yasar rahmatullah alayh was a tabi'i, was going for hajj. He was a muhaddis. And he was with his companions. They went inside a tent. And the other two companions, they went out to get some food. He was all alone. And a Bedouin Arab woman, she came inside and she requested with some hand as if she wanted something to eat. And Sulaiman bin Yasar rahmatullah, he thought that she's hungry. So he took out some bread that he had and he gave it to her. And at that time she said that, no, I don't need this. That I want to spend time with you. You're alone, I'm alone. Let's spend time together. And immediately he thought that Shaitan has sent. Shaitan is trying to make him commit this sin. So when this thought came to him, he started crying. And he wept so profusely that that woman also felt haya and shame, and she left. And that night when he had a dream, he saw Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, and he asked that, oh, Nabi of Allah, you are so azim that you said no to Zulaikha. But Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam replied that I was the Nabi of Allah, I had the hifazat of Allah. That's not so amazing. Your action with that woman was more amazing than mine. That you had such a khawf of Allah, you had such a sabr that you restrained yourself from that sin. So many times it happens in our environment because the opportunity to sin is there all the time. And there are a whole variety of sins that a person can do in this day and age. There are outward sins, there are inward sins, there are visual sins. And at that time, to have this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart and to say no to our nafs and pull ourselves back, that requires sabr. But a person who does this, then they become the muqarrab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first level was that a person has sabr in the acts of worship, istiqamat. And the second is to have sabr to restrain ourselves from sins. And we should also remember one thing, that the more obstacles we have in doing acts of worship, the more ajr and reward that person will get. This is the reason why the Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba, that, oh my Sahaba, you are living in such a zamana that if any one of you does action or amal on 9/10 of the deen, yani you leave 1/10 of the deen, then you will not be successful. You will be halak, destroyed. But later on, there will come another zamana that if there is a person who can practice 1/10 of the deen, that person will be successful in the sight of Allah. The reason is because that will be the qurb-e qiyamah. And at that time, doing good deeds will become difficult. There will be a lot of obstacles. The Prophet ﷺ said that there will be a time when doing amal on the deen will be so difficult, it will be like holding burning coal in your hand. And that is why the ajr will increase. And then the third type of sabr is that when a person is going through some difficulty, and this is normally the definition that we are comfortable with, that we know, that we are familiar with, having sabr in the face of difficulty. This is when you show patience in the event of some hardship. And we all undergo difficulties. But the distinguishing factor is that how do we deal with them? Some people will get upset and they will start to complain. But again, the mu'min will see that difficulty as an opportunity to worship Allah. they will exhibit a calmness, will say Alhamdulillah, it's a chance to come close to Allah. They'll say Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. Whatever we lost in the difficulty, it came from Allah anyway, so it's ultimately doesn't matter, because we all have to go back to Allah Ta'ala in any case. And we have a beautiful example of this in the hadith. There was a sahabiyah by the name of Umme Sulaim radiallahu ta'ala an. Allah gave her a son, and her husband Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala was not home. And before he could return, the son passed away. So the wife, when the husband came back, the wife, she prepared food for him, and she adorned herself for her husband. And then at night, when Abu Talha came and he asked that, where is our son? What's he's doing? So she said that he has sukoon. He is tranquil. He is peaceful. And then that night, Sayyidina Abu Talha, Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala, he ate food with his wife, and then they spent the night together. In the morning, the wife, she said to him, that if someone gives us something as an amanat, and then they want that amanat back, that trust back, so should we refuse to give him? Or are we supposed to pay back that amanat? So Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala said that we should give it back, because it's amanat, it's a trust. There's no way that we should hold it back. And after listening to this, she said that your son was an amanat that Allah gave us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken this amanat back. And when he listened to this, he was very sad, that why didn't you tell me before? And then Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he mentioned the whole story. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made from within my ummah a woman who is very sabira, like the sabira of Bani Israel. She has so much sabr. And he was speaking, was referring to Umme Sulaim radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then the Prophet also made a very special dua that barakallahu fima fa'altuma fil layl, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in the night that you husband wife spent together. And because of the barak of that dua, they were blessed with another son by the name of Hazrat Abdullah bin Abi Talha radiallahu ta'ala an, who had 9 sons, and all of them were qari and hafiz of the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a sabur, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who have sabr. Not only Allah ta'ala commands us in the Quran to have sabr several places, but then the question that when a person does sabr, what is the inam, the blessing, the reward a person gets from Allah? So if you read Quran from that angle, you will be amazed at the kind of blessings that are associated with sabr. And sabr, again, all 3 kinds. Number one, Allah says that Allah has love for the people of sabr. Wallahu yuhibbu sabirin. Allah loves the patient ones. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants ma'iyah to the patient, to those who are patient. The goal of the believer is to attain ma'iyah with Allah. Ma'iyah is to be completely attached to Allah, to attain a closeness and intimacy to Allah, wherein you're completely conscious of him. And the believers who wish to attain ma'iyat, they have to make effort. But one way in which a person can attain the state of ma'iyat is through sabr. Inna Allah ma'as sabirin. And then elsewhere Allah says that on sabr will give you a better reward. Wala najziyanna alladhina sabaru ajrahum bi ahsani ma kanu ya'malun. That whoever has sabr will be given a better reward. Likewise, Allah says that whoever has sabr will be given an ajr which is without hisab. Allah also promises his help and assistance for the people of sabr in Quran. Allah promises 3 things for the people of sabr. in Quran. والصابرين في البعثاء والضراء وحين البعث أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون. That these are the ones who are truthful and these are the ones who are pious. Sidq and Taqwa. And then elsewhere Allah says that people of Sabr, these are the ones who have azam, who have himmat, who are strong. وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. That whoever has sabr and forgives, these are acts which are very big, which are himmat wale ka. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives glad tidings to people of sabr. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَزٍ عَزِيمٍ. That this is only for those people who have sabr and those people who have a very big, greater share in the mercy of Allah, who are fortunate. And then ahle sabr, people of sabr, are the ones who will go and enter into Jannah. And Allah says in Quran, وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَدْخُلُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ بَابٍ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِمَا صَبَرْتُمْ فَنِعْمَ عُقْبَى الدَّارِ. That the malaika will say salam to them and they will be made to enter into Jannah, a place and abode where they will dwell therein forever. And for those people who are doing work of deen, Allah says in Quran that people of sabr will be given the mansab or the rank of leading other people. In Quran Allah says, فَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَعِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوكِنُونَ. That amongst them we made those the leaders who would then guide people towards our hukum, our commandments. These were those people when they had sabr, when they were patient, and they were people who had yaqeen on our signs. So subhanallah, so many ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises so many blessings and rewards for the people of sabr. And then if you look in the Quran, there's so many stories about the previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam about sabr. Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam, he had sabr and he made dua to Allah, innama ashku bathi wa huzni ilallah, that I complain about my grief and my difficulty only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, and his patience is also mentioned in the Quran, that when Allah ta'ala tested him and he passed that test with sabr, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that inni masani adhurru wa anta arhamur rahimin, that Allah, this dharar, this pain has touched me and you are the most merciful of the merciful ones. And Allah loved his sabr so much that Allah praises him in the Quran, inna wajadanahu sabira ni'mal abd innahu awwab, that we found him to be a sabir, he was an amazing servant, and innahu awwab, he was constantly doing ruju ilallah, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Prophet ﷺ had so many musibate. The Prophet ﷺ also had sabr in every single situation. In the moment, in the story of Ta'if, the Prophet ﷺ made dua to Allah ta'ala, Allahumma inni ilayka ashku dhu'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani ala nas. And then the natija of this sabr was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed that difficulty. Allah ta'ala gave miraj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed those people from that same Taif to accept iman in the subsequent generations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one place says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is an ayat worth reflecting, wasbir lihukmi rabbik, that O my beloved, have sabr, fasbir fa innaka bi'ayunina, that you are in front of us, you are literally fa innaka bi'ayunina, you are before our eyes. And when this ayat was revealed, so the Prophet ﷺ had this ajib kayfiyat. Ummul Mu'mineen Amma Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala, she says that when I heard this ayah, she got up and she kissed the blessed hands of the Prophet and said that, O beloved of Allah, you have such a noble rank in the sight of Allah that Allah Ta'ala is saying that, O my beloved, you are before our eyes. We are looking at you. When the lover gets this khushkhabri and glad tiding that the beloved is watching me, then there is no taklif that is left. This word, this ayat, فَإِنَّكَ بِعْيُنِنَا. We should remember this, and a lot of our mashayikh, they would write this on some paper and keep it with themselves. فَإِنَّكَ بِعْيُنِنَا. That indeed you are before our eyes. And they would have this paper, this ayat with them, and anytime any difficulty or hardship would come their way, they would take that ayat out and they would recite it. And that grief and sadness would be converted into happiness. I'll just end with one last story. The amount of sabr our early Muslims had. Those people who were beloved in the sight of Allah. Allah Ta'ala gave a lot of sabr to men. But this is such a ni'mat that even women were people, were mountains of sabr and patience. This is a ni'mat, a tawfiq that Allah gives to whomsoever He wills. Sayyida, the daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, Sayyida Asma radiallahu ta'ala an. She had a son by the name of Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an. And when Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an, he had some dispute with Hajjaj bin Yusuf. And Hajjaj bin Yusuf was a very ruthless ruler. And he had enmity for Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair. And there was a fight. And one by one, he murdered all the companions of Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an. Then Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, he also realized that my life is also about to end. And you realize it's the last day of my life. And because he was near his home, the door of his house, so he thought that, let me go and meet my mother for one last time and say salam to her. So he came to his mother, Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha was by this time very old, and she had become blind. She couldn't see. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair, the son, he said that, oh my mother, I've come here to say salam to you one final time, last time. And she asked that, oh my son, that what are you worried about? And he said that, Ammi, oh my mother, I fear that when these people will martyr me, will do shahada, shaheed me, they will cut my body into pieces. They will literally cut my body into pieces. And that's what I'm thinking right now. That's the fear that I have. She was an old mother. And she said that, oh my son, when the ruh is taken out, then it makes no difference what they do with the jism. So, Khair Hazrat Abdullah, he said to his mother, oh mother, that I've come here to say salam and request your du'as, and now I'm leaving. And the mother said that, you can go back, but before you leave, just come a bit near to me so that I cannot see you, but I want to kiss you. And I want to smell the fragrance of your body. So the son came near his mother, and the mother, she bid her son farewell. And at that time, she said three things to her son. That, O Allah, you know that this Abdullah is my son, was that son that used to rise up at night. And in the coldness of the night, he would go to the musalla stand up and he would worship you. And O Allah, this Abdullah is my son, who in the heat of the sun, he would go out and for your sake, he would be fasting. And O Allah, this Abdullah is my son, who through his khidmat and service has won my heart. So Allah, I'm pleased with my son, you also become pleased with him. And then after that, Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair, he came out. And when he came out, he was martyred. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends these musibatain on his chosen servants. Why? Because when they will have the intiha of sabr, Allah will give them the intiha of ajr and a reward. Allah will show to the angels that these are such servants of mine that you thought that they will cause anarchy on this earth. See that they're willing to sacrifice their life for my name, for my sake. And this is the tradition, this is our legacy, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects a person, those people whom he loves, Allah tests them, and then after that test, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them izzat. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, most of you will be familiar, he used to pray 300 rakat every day. And then he was tested in terms of his honor. People in that locality, they smeared him with filth, made him walk the streets of Medina Munawwara in a state that they humiliated him and disgraced him. Why did this happen? Allah wanted to make him fly. And today, 1/3 of Islamic law, 1/3 of fiqh, is the barakah of Imam Malik rahmatullah, Maliki fiqh. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, they're two people whose istiqama revived the deen of Islam. One was Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he fought the murtad, mountain of istiqama. And second was Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah. In this creation of the Quran masala, the ruler was against him. He stood up for the correct akidah. He was lashed publicly. And one lash was so intense that if an elephant was lashed but quivered, he was lashed 70 times every day. And today his fiqh and his tafakkur is so makbul and acceptable. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, his janaza was taken from inside the jail. He was imprisoned by the ruler, governor. One half of Sharia is based upon the usul, his usul, his legal methodology. Imam Shafi rahmatullah, he died after a long illness. He was confined to his bed. And now such a big portion of Sharia is based on Shafi fiqh. And you can extend all these examples. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala. This is rahmah. So we make dua to Allah ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of sabr. We should remember that Allah is Hakim. Allah knows what is better for us. Allah is Alim, Khabir, Qadir, and Allah is also Rahim. He's more Rahim, more than our own mother. I don't have so much khair khwai for us, so much goodwill for us, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has khair khwai for myself. That's how we should think. That every matter, every decision, everything that happens to me, there is khair from Allah. Allah has more mercy than my own mother. He has more mercy than my own self. And that's why anything happens, we should remember this sifat that Allah is As-Sabur. And the Prophet's Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam was As-Sabur. So we should also try to develop this character, this attribute inside of us and become As-Sabur. And for this, the Prophet has also taught us a dua. Allahumma ja'alni shakuran wa ja'alni saburan. That, O Allah, make me extremely grateful, an extremely grateful servant of yours. Wa ja'alni sabura. And, O Allah, make me an extremely patient servant of yours. So we make dua to Allah ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala make us people of sabr. and shukr. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us his raza. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربي العلى الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين اللهم آتي نفسي تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب من يقربنا إليك اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صابرا ويقينا كاملا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت والعفو عند الحساب والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار رب زدني علما والحقني بالصالحين اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم یا اللہ یا رب کریم ہم آپ کے عاجز مسکین سے بنتے ہیں ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہماری خطاؤں کو درگزر فرما ہمارے عیبوں کی پردہ پوشی فرما یا رب کریم ہمیں بھی صبر ہماری زندگی نصیب فرما اپنے صابرین بندوں میں شامل فرما دنیا کے اندر بھی صبر عطا فرما ہر اعتبار سے صبر عطا فرما یا رب کریم عبادت کے اندر صبر نصیب فرما گناہوں سے بچنے کے لیے صبر نصیب فرما اللہ مصیبت و پریشانی کے وقت میں بھی صبر عطا فرما اور یا رب کریم اس صبر کی برکات میں اپنی زندگی کے اندر نصیب فرما اس صبر کی وجہ سے اللہ ہمیں اپنی محبت نصیب فرما اپنی معیت عطا فرما اپنا قرب نصیب فرما اللہ ہمیں بھی ہمت نصیب فرما اپنے صابرین شاکرین بندوں میں شامل فرما اللہ ان بندوں میں شامل فرما جو ہر حال میں آپ سے راضی ہیں یا رب کریم ہمیں اپنی رضا نصیب فرما اپنی رضا کے مطابق زندگی گزارنے کی توفیق عطا فرما اللہ جس چیز میں آپ کی رضا ہے اس چیز کو کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما اللہ ہمیں برے دن سے ہماری حفاظت فرما برے رات سے ہماری حفاظت فرما برے انجام سے ہماری حفاظت فرما یا رب کریم ہماری تمام نیک تمناؤں کو ہماری خواہشات و دعاؤں کو اپنی رحمت سے پورا فرما ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلق محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.